At Facebook, we've taken critical steps to prepare for the U.S. elections. We've more than tripled our safety and security teams, implemented five-step ad verification, and launched a new voting information center. Learn more at fb.com/about/elections.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, October 6th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. As Americans look to move out of cramped cities during the pandemic, the housing market has turned red hot. But buying a home could be more difficult for people who've got a lot of student loan debt.
Well, the fact that so many people owe so much in student debt is really the trouble. And if you have a large amount of loans, then it's going to be harder potentially to qualify for a mortgage.
Business writer Cheryl Winokur Monk will go over the steps that prospective home buyers who are carrying student loan debt can take to help them qualify for a home loan. That's after the break.
Avalara has been pioneering sales tax automation with cloud-based solutions since 2004. That's why businesses of all sizes turn to Avalara for real-time rate calculation, automatic return filing, and certificate management. Avalara automatically integrates with more than 700 ERP and e-commerce systems, likely what you use today. Find out how your business can save time and reduce risk at avalara.com/WSJ. That's AVALARA.com/WSJ. Avalara, tax compliance done right.
As banks tighten their lending standards, outstanding student debt can stand in the way of people qualifying for a mortgage and buying a home. Wall Street Journal contributor Cheryl Winokur Monk is here to discuss ways of managing your student debt to help smooth the path to buying a new home. Cheryl, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So mortgage lenders often look not only at an applicant's monthly income, but also their expenses. How can mortgage applicants work those factors to their advantage?
Well, there's not much you can really necessarily do about your monthly income unless you're going to get another job. And even then, you have to be careful about job hopping when you're in the process of looking for a mortgage. But when you have a lot of expenses, by paying off some of those expenses or paying them down, you can improve your chances of qualifying for a mortgage. And the expenses that they're going to look at include housing, car payments, student loan bills, and minimum monthly payments on credit cards. And lenders are going to compare that with your monthly income.
So what makes student loan debt in particular such a potential obstacle to getting a mortgage?
Well, the fact that so many people owe so much in student debt is really the trouble. More than 44 million Americans collectively own about $1.6 trillion in student loans. And if you have a large amount of loans, then it's going to be harder potentially to qualify for a mortgage.
And stricter lending rules the banks have don't make it any easier.
That's true. It may be in some cases that borrowers with a lot of debt aren't going to be able to qualify. On the other hand, even if you can't qualify for a mortgage right now, there may be other things you can do. You may be able to borrow money from parents, for example. There are other potential options. You may be able to just wait a little bit longer and save a little bit more and pay off a little bit more until you're in a better financial situation. You don't want to get yourself in a situation where you're, you know, really living paycheck to paycheck and you can't afford your mortgage payments because you're also trying to pay off debt. So as much as you want a mortgage, you do have to take other things into consideration.
So how should mortgage applicants categorize or prioritize which loans to pay off?
Usually when it comes to paying off loans, the advice is generally pay off loans with higher interest rates first. When it comes to helping your ratios, they're called debt to income ratios, for the purposes of qualifying for a mortgage, you may want to do something slightly different. So for example, if you can pay your credit card balance in full each month, it's not going to factor into that debt to income ratio at all. Unlike other debt where monthly payments are static, if you can pay down the balance on credit card, that's going to help lower your minimum monthly payment.
And there are lots of options available to make it easier to pay off student loan debt.
You may be able to change your repayment options so that you're paying less each month. The federal government has a loan simulator tool, and that helps borrowers understand what their monthly payments could be under a different plan. Now, there are all these trade-offs potentially to switching plans, so you may pay more over the life of the loan. But if you're looking to lower your monthly payment, which would improve your debt-to-income ratio, that's at least an option to consider.
And I guess those options include refinancing.
True. If you have private loans, you could reconsider, you can consider refinancing to get a lower monthly payment, which would improve the debt to income ratio that the lenders look at. That really should only be considered, though, with private loans, because if you have a federal loan, you're going to lose certain protections, such as income-driven repayment and student loan forgiveness. Again, for borrowers with private loans, you might be able to get a lower monthly payment. And even though that would lengthen the repayment term, so you're going to pay more over the life of the loan, you're probably only going to be spending a little bit more in interest over the life of the loan in exchange for a lower mortgage rate. So that could be beneficial. But again, just be careful if you have federal loans, because you really don't want to refinance and then lose income-driven repayment and student loan forgiveness options.
Now, we've heard a lot about income-driven repayment. How would that work into the equation?
Borrowers on income-driven repayment may find some lenders automatically apply a fixed percentage of their loan balance when calculating the debt-to-income ratio. So that could actually be higher than their actual monthly payment, especially if you're on an income-driven repayment plan and paying $0 per month. So you have to find out from the lender what their calculation is when it goes into the debt-to-income ratio to make sure that they're not attributing more payment to you than you're really making.
Now, if somebody's able to make a larger down payment, would that help in getting a mortgage?
So it could definitely help you reduce the front-end ratio, which is the housing or the front-end ratio used in the approval process. However, depending on the circumstances, instead of scrimping to come up with a larger down payment, you may be better off directing the funds to pay existing debt. It's really a case-by-case scenario, so you can't just say, if this worked for my friend, this is going to work for me. These are all considerations of ways to help you, but it's not necessarily just because it worked for some person. One person doesn't mean it's going to work for another.
Now, a few minutes ago, you mentioned job hopping and job stability. If somebody finds a new job during the mortgage application process, is it a good idea to pursue it?
So according to the people I spoke to, lenders often want to see at least 2 years of service with a current employer when they're considering you for a mortgage. However, if you're really substantially increasing your income, that may not be something to stop you. So you just have to, it's all individualized circumstances, and you really have to weigh the particular circumstances.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk. Cheryl, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.